Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
This is a red balloon. It's true, it's red. We all know our colors. The absolute truth is that this balloon is red.
No, it's not. That's green.
What?
This right here is a green balloon.
That is the prettiest yellow balloon.
Yellow? This is red. Yeah, come over here.
No, it's green.
It's red!
Yeah, I know. It's a red balloon.
Hey, will you look at it from my point of view, please?
What?
Hey, nice blue balloon.
It's
blue.
Green!
Green? It's red.
Why are you saying it's red when it's blue, huh?
It's totally purple from here!
Purple? Okay, you know what? Let's just settle this once and for all, okay?
Where are you going?
Hey, what color is this balloon?
I only see in black and white.
Okay. Hey, Mark, what color?
There is no balloon.
This is ridiculous.
Hey, I know what the problem is. Look, my mom taught me that this was blue. But, then she said this is red and green, yellow, you know, and on and on.
Okay, I get that your mom taught you that that was blue, but I mean, that's not the truth.
Whoa, why are you talking bad about his mom?
Yeah.
I'm not.
Listen, I respect your mother.
Thank you.
And the way she raised you. She taught you that it was blue. Our moms taught us that it was red. Right. That's the way it goes.
I thought you said it was green.
It is green. See, I'm smart. I went to college. And in college, I learned all these different theories about color.
Really?
And my color professors who have doctorates in color. Do you have a doctorate in color?
No.
It shows. Okay? They can't even agree on one theory of color, so you have to look at all the different theories and pick which one works best for you. And green is great for me.
That makes sense.
Thank you.
No, you can't just pick whatever color fits your life the best. Red is red.
Okay, do you know the word intolerant?
Yeah.
Because that's what you're being right now. All right, you're shoving your opinion down my throat.
Okay, it's not my opinion, it's the truth.
Hold on. All we're saying is that we need to stop arguing about trivial things. Like truth.
You know, the funny thing about truth is, it's true, whether you believe it or not.
That little video about the red balloon, it's actually pretty profound, is it not? It kind of causes you to step back and think for a minute. It has a very pertinent message for where we find ourselves just in life today with the subject of truth and tolerance and how to navigate different points of view without being a complete jerk in the middle of life, especially in a day when claiming to be a follower of Jesus who believes what the Bible has to say is actually the ultimate, the authoritative truth that doesn't change with the seasons or with the times, with the decades, with the generations. This morning, we're continuing in this little short three-part series that we started last week out of a very small book in the back of the Bible called Jude. Turn with me, if you would, to Jude. It's in the back of your Bible, right before the book of Revelation. We're continuing in this series this morning called Hey Jude, Who Do You Listen To? Because we all have to decide what voice is going to be supreme in our life. What voice are we going to listen to above all other voices? We've got to make some decisions about who we're going to listen to that has ultimate say in who we are and how we live and what it is that we believe and in what we do in accordance to what we understand to be the truth. And contrary to what some people may believe, I really do believe that you can be an authentic, committed follower of Jesus Christ who actually approaches and lives life based on the authority of God's Word, the Bible, and you can have convictions and you can have beliefs about what is right and what is wrong. What is sin? What is not sin? What is God's design and what is not God's design? And I think you can have all that And still, I think that you can be able to love people who may have a totally different understanding than you, a totally different approach to life than you, who believe very differently than you, who may think very differently than you. I think you can love one another. We can love our neighbors as Jesus commanded. And while being a follower of Jesus, who believes and who obeys the teachings found in the Bible, while that may be viewed more and more by society as being intolerant or homophobic or bigoted and a host of other descriptions with marginalizing perspectives, what I understand that God teaches us in the Bible is, again, that we are to love one another. And not only love one another, but share truth in love with gentleness and with humility, being rooted and being grounded, being established in what God says about life and what he says about truth. Because, see, here's the deal. At the end of the day, you and I have to make some decisions about who we are going to listen to and how we then are going to live based on who we believe God to be. And so the text that we're going to interact with this morning, that we're going to look at today in this series from this little letter written by a man named Jude, it actually deals with some of these very same issues about living according to truth and what truth is, and realizing that just like the girl in the video said, the funny thing about truth is it's true whether you believe it or not. It's true whether you believe it or not. And that's what Jude is trying to convey in this little letter that he wrote to people who were followers of Jesus in the first century, about 40 to 50 years after Jesus had been crucified, buried, had been resurrected, and ascended into heaven. So this is about 40, 50 years after that pivotal point in history. Okay, so Jude, who was Jude? Jude was actually the Lord Jesus' half-brother. Jude became a believer in Jesus once he saw Jesus after Jesus had been resurrected. He didn't believe that he was the Messiah beforehand. I mean, he just grew up with the Son of God, but he didn't believe that he was the Son of God until he came back to life from being crucified and showed himself to people as being alive. And then Jude and some of his other brothers and family and other friends began to believe in a whole new way. So as we're in history here at this point, Jude is writing this letter. Why is he writing this letter? He's writing this letter to warn other followers of Jesus that there are some people who claim to be followers, claim to be followers of Jesus, but they're just not living their life according to the ways and the words of Jesus. They've weaseled their way into the church, into the Christian community, and they're claiming things that are just not true. They're just not the truth. They're false teachers or false prophets, as they're sometimes referred to as. And so the reason Jude is writing is to sound a warning to the church to be discerning and to be alert about these people and what it is that they're saying and what it is that they're living. They're not telling the truth. They're not living the truth. They're actually leading people astray. And at the end, their leadership is going to lead to the judgment of God. Now, I'll admit, that is not a real popular topic or subject to talk about, to think about, to invest a morning about, the judgment of God. But you know what? Regardless of whether we think it's popular or not, that right there is a reality. It is going to happen to all people if
What is written in the Bible is actually true. And for what it's worth, I believe it is. I believe it is true. But remember what the curl said. The funny thing about truth is, would you say this with me? It's true whether you believe it or not. So let's pick up where we left off last week. Last week we looked at the first four verses. We're going to pick up in verse 5 and we'll go through verse 16 this morning. Now, before we get into the text, you need to know something about this section of Jude's letter that we're going to read. Jude is going to be referencing a whole lot of Old Testament characters, Old Testament stories, even some stories and characters that aren't necessarily in the actual Old Testament, but that are from that time period, okay, from what's known as extra-biblical accounts or extra-biblical stories, stories that aren't in the Bible, but that were very important, that were very well known to early followers of God, the children of Israel, okay? They knew about these stories. They knew about these people. And so some of these stories that we're going to reference, we'll slow down and give a little bit of backstory because maybe they're not as familiar or you haven't thought of some. There's some other parts in here that we're going to move on, and I'm going to encourage you, if you don't know where to study this week, looking at some of the context of these stories and names that are referenced would be a great place for where you can spend some time this week. Let's start in verse 5 here. Look at this first phrase with me. Jude's writing and he says, "Now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it." So think with me here just for a second. This is really important. What Jude is telling his audience, reminding his audience, he's saying, friends, you know this stuff. This isn't new information to you. Let's walk back in our minds for a minute. Let's walk back in history for a minute. Let's just remember some truth is what Jude is saying. And he's going to remind them in these next couple of verses here of three examples from stories that they just all fully know. These aren't like off the beaten path kinds of stories. These are stories in this culture, in this people's repertoire that they would have absolutely known. You mention the name, they know the story. They don't have to try to remember, they just know it, okay? Look again in verse 5. "Now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe." Now, let's hold on here for a second. Wait just a minute. You may be sitting there going, "I thought Moses saved the people out of the land of Egypt." That's the Exodus story, right? I mean, everybody knows it was Moses, right? And they're saying Jesus? Well, right, it was Moses. But actually, it was God who led Moses to lead the people out of Egypt. And so when Jude says here that Jesus saved people out of Egypt, he's saying Jesus is God. Jesus, the Lord, the one who was and is to come. Jesus is the one who was working and leading Moses back in the Exodus story. And Jesus, the Lord God, destroyed those who did not believe. That's what Jude just wrote there. Jude is actually referencing chapters in the Old Testament from Exodus chapter 7 all the way through chapter 17, and then in the book of Numbers, chapters 11 through 14, that summarizes Israel's rebellion and then God's response through his divine judgment. One biblical scholar noted that for Jude's readers, Israel's judgment was this vivid reminder of what happens to those who, whether they become actual teachers of his, having heard what God expects and witnessed what God can do, they still sometimes fail to believe. And he's saying, friends, the Lord will condemn and the Lord will destroy all such renegade people. And even as I say that, that's not a very happy thought, is it? No, it's not. But you know what? Based on the authority of God's word, that is the truth. At some point, God's mercy and God's grace moves on to judgment for those who choose to rebel and do their own thing apart from what God says. It's what that great author C.S. Lewis wrote about. Look what C.S. Lewis said about this. He says, "Now is our chance to choose the right side. God is holding back to give us that chance. It won't last forever. We must take it or leave it." We must take it or leave it. Look with me at verse 6. Another example of judgment that Jude's audience, man, they would have known all about. This one's from outside of the Old Testament, but still during that time. He says, "And the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day." Here, Jude is referencing a story from a historical work that was known as the Book of Enoch. It was well known by early followers of Jesus, other Israelites of that time. Again, Jude, we see here, he's referencing God's judgment, and this time referencing it as focused on angels when they rebelled against God. And he's saying, friends, God's judgment is real. And then Jude gives one more example of rebellion and judgment. It goes back to a story that is in the Bible, in the first book of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, from Genesis 19. He picks it up in Jude chapter 1, verse 7, and he says, "Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire." So Jude here, he's referencing something, again, that would have been well known by his audience. He's referencing what God did to the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and those surrounding that area when they started defiling what God's intended idea for sex was all about, and how it was intended to be enjoyed and experienced between a man and a woman in a covenant relationship known as marriage. God always has had, and God always will have, unchanging design and a plan and a purpose and a standard for sex and for sexual intimacy. But the people of this day, of Sodom and Gomorrah, they thumbed their nose at God. They said, "We're going to do whatever we want to do, however we want to do it, with whomever we decide to do it with regarding sex." And it leads to what the scriptures refer to as sexual rebellion. And God responds to those choices. God responded with severe judgment. And so what Jude is doing here is reminding his audience, this is what happens when you reject the supernatural authority of God. Don't you remember, Jude is saying, all these different instances of people rebelling against God and what God did? God judged those actions because our God is a just God, and our Creator God is going to hold accountable the creation of God. That's what Jude is saying here. Jude is saying, with as much compassion and clarity as possible, our choices have consequences, good or bad. And Jude is writing to warn followers of Jesus that some who call themselves Christians have found their way into the church, but what they are doing, Jude says, is rebellious toward holy God. They are teaching things that are not truth. In fact, Jude says their lifestyles are far from what God has designed, especially when it comes to sexual expression. In a sense, they are living out all over again what the very last verse in another book of the Old Testament records. It's the book of Judges, and it talks about people, the people of God, who were thumbing their nose at God's authority and God's truth. And here's what it says in Judges chapter 17, verse 6. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes, or in her own eyes. N.T. Wright made such an astute observation about this trend of just doing what's right in your own eyes. He said this, take a look at this quote with me. He says, once you reject supernatural authority, it's easy to reject human authorities as well, whether in the church or in the wider world. And once you do that, the most obvious thing is to cast off restraint in any and every aspect of behavior, not least in relation to sex. And friends, that is exactly what some of the false teachers of Jude's day, who claim to be followers of Jesus, are doing, are proclaiming with their lips and with their lifestyle. Look what Jude goes on to say here as he's warning the true, authentic followers of Jesus, the true Christians. Look what he says here as another warning in verse 8. He says, yet in like manner, these people also, the false teachers, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. Really, really interesting verse here. He's saying, if you have anybody who claims to be a follower of Jesus, yet just defiles the flesh and rejects authority and blasphemes God, you have somebody, in a sense, who's claiming that a red balloon isn't red. It's not really red. It's whatever you want it to be. And Jude is saying that's what people in his day are doing. They're claiming that red balloons aren't red. They can just be whatever they want it to be. But pay close attention to this phrase right here. Reject authority. Underline that, circle that. Reject authority. These words mean that these people scorn God's authority over them. That verb there in the Greek, reject, it's an interesting word. In the Greek, that word reject specifies someone who has set to the side divine authority. Someone who set aside God's law, God's authority. Consequently, they are showing contempt for Christ and for his gospel. What that means is they want to rule over their own lives and be free from any lordship that Jesus claims over them. In other words, in their life there is no divine king, and everybody does what they see fit in their own eyes. They're just making their own choices as they go and making it up as they go along. And men and women, that is setting up for harsh and divine judgment in time. And Jude just goes on to give additional examples. I want to just read through this next section of Scripture. I don't want to take as much time as we did on these first three verses and first three examples. But just know this. There's a reason Jude isn't giving a lot of backstory here and writing a longer letter than he is. He's just referencing them. Why? Because his audience knows everything about every one of these that he's talking about. Now, while you may not be aware of all of those, the audience he was writing to certainly did. So this next section here would be a great place to dig in a little bit deeper in your personal Bible study this week and historical study about some of these other mentions here that aren't necessarily in the Old Testament, but that were reputable, that were known, that were authoritative in that particular day and time. Jude continues speaking of God's judgment through examples in verses 9 and following. Read it with me through verse 16. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but he said, "The Lord rebuke you. But these people blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively." Verse 11, "Woe to them, for they walked in the way of Cain and abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error and perished in Korah's rebellion." These teachers, these false teachers, these are hidden reefs at your love feast. What's a love feast? It's like after church. It's like an after church potluck where people gathered together and they shared food and they shared life and they shared community. So don't put love feast in the ditch there, okay? It's not some kind of a smutty thing. It was a community thing. It was a chance to connect, to eat good food, to share good stories, to encourage one another. And these false teachers were showing up with a covered dish as well. And Jude says here in verse 12, he says, "These people are hidden reefs at your love feast, as they feast with you without fear, shepherds feeding themselves, waterless clouds swept along by winds, fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea, casting up the foam of their own shame, wandering stars for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever." Verse 14, "It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, 'Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him.' These are grumblers, malcontents, following their own sinful desires. They are loud-mouthed boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage." Wow. This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Man, Jude here, he just gave example after example after example of how these false teachers who've crept into the church, he says they're like hidden reefs in verse 12. You can't see them above the waterline, but you get underneath the waterline, and man, destructive people, ready to just rip your life open like the hull of a boat, to lead you to a deadly demise if you don't wake up and realize a most important question: who do you listen to? Where are you going to get the authoritative word for how to live your life in a manner that is pleasing and honoring to Holy God. To the God who knows you, who created you, and who knows what's best for you. Who is a king, the king who has not abdicated his throne. See, when everybody does what is right in his or her own eyes, that doesn't end well. And the truth is, Jude is saying, our choices have consequences that will lead to the judgment of God. And that's either going to be a good thing or a not good thing. And Jude, man, he just keeps banging the drum and banging the drum and banging the drum, going, friends, wake up. Be careful who you are listening to. Be careful who you are following. Make sure you are listening to wise voices that are telling you the truth. Reminded me of a TikTok video that I saw recently. When you're on TikTok, well, I was on Twitter, and this one was linked into Twitter, and I'm scrolling through, you know, killing some time or whatever, and then I see this TikTok video because it's got somebody that I'm keenly interested in. His name is Nick Saban. Anybody ever heard of Coach Nick Saban? Yeah, he's the head football coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide. Now, I'm not an Alabama Crimson Tide fan, okay? But I am very interested in sustained greatness. And he has sustained greatness as the greatest football coach that college football has ever seen. Won more national championships than anybody else. And so when Nick Saban has something to say, I tend to kind of dial in and hear what he's saying. He had some incredible words that I think, man, if we were going to make a modern day movie of the life of Jude, I think Nick Saban might be Jude. He might be Jude. Now, on this little TikTok video, as you're watching, it may be a little grainy. You may not be able to see all the words that come up on the screen. So really pay attention to the message that he is giving here, because I think it ties directly in to the same kind of message that Jude is saying about who you're listening to. Watch this for a second.
One story I like to tell that happened to a player here. He got in a little trouble when he was a freshman. Some guys called him a bunch of names. They were drinking, and he got really upset. So he went over and grabbed one of them by the nape of the neck. Police came, and he could have got arrested. I called him in my office, and I said, man, you just can't do those kinds of things. You can't expect me to let people call me those kind of names, do those kinds of things, and not do something about it. And I said, you know what? I agree with you. But, you know, you're going to be a first-round draft pick someday. You're going to make $30 million if you're a first-round draft pick. If that cop would have given you an assault charge, you would be a third-round draft pick, and you would make $2 million. For $28 million, is it worth it to be right? You know what his response to that was? You'll never have any more trouble with me, coach. And he never did, and he really became a first-round draft pick and signed for $40 million. I missed it by 10. Sometimes you have to be able to realize what the consequences of your behavior is, regardless of what your emotional commitment might be to it.
Man, I love that. I mean, if you are a highly decorated football player, what Coach Saban says, you better listen to, because it may be a $28 million decision if you choose to be the king of your own life. I mean, in the king of college football, it is that man right there. And if you will listen to that man and set him over the throne of your life as it pertains to your football career, that's going to be a really wise voice to listen to. And that's what he's saying there. And that's what Jude is saying here. I hear Jude helping the followers of Jesus in his day realize that we've got to be mindful of the voices that we are listening to. Which ones are sharing truth and which ones are not sharing truth. If a red balloon is being called green or blue or purple, or there's not really a balloon after all. If it's red, the truth is, it is red. It's a red balloon. Regardless of what someone else thinks or believes. And man, I've been thinking about that little red balloon video. And I've been thinking about the voices that we listen to. And I shared a voice that I listen to every single weekday. And I encourage you to start listening to and reading this particular voice along with your Bible. There is an incredible resource that's available to you all the time at denisonforum.org. Dr. Jim Denison writes a daily article. If you will go to Denison Forum, D-E-N-I-S-O-N, Forum, F-O-R-U-M.org, denisonforum.org, and click on subscribe to the daily article. The daily article, Jim Denison writes so much incredible truth that helps us as followers of Jesus navigate through very challenging waters where truth is many times subjective to others. But he helps us understand what the truth is and how to discern the truth. I was reading his daily article from October the 21st, 2021, and in this particular article that he wrote on that day, it dealt with the realities of our modern culture pertaining to sexual choices that are outside of what God has designed and articulated in the Bible. And in that article, listen to what Jim Denison writes. He says, "The sexual revolution continues to advance in our culture. For example, the Pentagon has spent $15 million the last 5 years to treat 1,892 transgender troops, including 11.5 million for psychotherapy and 3.1 million for surgeries, including, quote, sex reassignment procedures." He gives another example. He says, People magazine is featuring an interview with Jamie Lee Curtis and her transgender daughter. And Jamie Lee said, quote, "If one person reads this, sees a picture of Ruby and me and says, quote, I feel free to say this is who I am, then it's worth it." Another example, he says, Vienna's Natural History Museum has found a way to display art containing nudity that has been banned on social media platforms. According to the Washington Post, they will showcase it on a subscription-based website, quote, most closely associated with sex work, end quote. Another example, actress Gwyneth Paltrow shared with People magazine her sex advice for her teenage children. Quote, I will always just encourage my children to listen to themselves. Listen to their instincts. Listen to if something, you know, feels right and to act from that place. End quote. And Denison goes on to write, My wife and I were watching primetime network television the other night when ads appeared for children's products featuring LGBTQ advocacy. From dolls to toys, cartoons, and movies. He writes, The push to normalize LGBTQ behavior among the youngest members of society continues apace. He says, Our culture has fully embraced Friedrich Nietzsche's edict, quote, There are no eternal facts, as there are no absolute truths, end quote. Note that he made this declaration as an absolute truth. And Denison goes on in his article to talk about two wrong choices and a biblical mandate when he writes, My purpose today is not to relitigate LGBTQ morality, or the postmodern relativism of our day. Issues, Dennison says, that I have addressed often in the past. Rather, it is to ask the question, how can Christians live and raise our families in a culture that is forcing its norms on us in unprecedented ways? From school curricula to popular culture to political advocacy, unbiblical morality is more endorsed and enforced than ever before in American history. He writes, we can retreat from society into protectionist enclaves, but this seems to keep our salt in the salt shaker and our light under a basket, as Jesus refers to in the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16. It also violates Jesus' great commission to, quote, go therefore and make disciples of all nations by being his public witnesses where we live and around the world. The other extreme is not a biblical option either. We must not compromise biblical truth for the sake of social acceptance. He says denominations and churches that have abandoned biblical values in their quest for relevance are declining at alarming rates. And he says the biblical approach is to remain committed both to biblical truth and to biblical compassion by, quote, speaking the truth in love, as the Apostle Paul writes about in Ephesians 4:15, wherever and whenever we can. And so Dennison suggests, let's reframe the challenges of our culture as opportunities. Opportunities for Christians to show our critics the practical difference Jesus makes in our lives. When we learn about hurting people, let's pray for them and then look for ways to help them. When we learn of leaders making unbiblical decisions, let's pray for them and then look for ways to share biblical truth with them and the larger culture in a spirit of humility and grace. When we find ourselves being accused of intolerance, let's pray for our critics and then demonstrate compassion that forgives and that serves. The greater the need, the greater the opportunity. The higher the mountain, the harder the climb. And Dennison concludes by saying this, I'm not suggesting naivety. We need to guard our children and our minds from the onslaught of unbiblical morality in our day. We need community with fellow believers to encourage and to strengthen our resolve to follow Jesus. But we can also step up to the challenges that we face with courage that trusts our earthly lives and our eternal lives to the Lord. He says, whatever happens, the best is yet to come. And isn't that the truth? That is absolutely true. The best is yet to come for those who truly are authentic disciples and followers of the Lord Jesus. However, please hear this truth that Jude is saying. To all people today who are trying to determine who and what is their authority. Men and women, Jude says this, there is a day coming for all people when we each will stand before our Creator and give an account of our life. And I would not be faithfully trying to preach all of God's word if I only taught about Jesus loving you with grace and mercy and never once ever mentioning that to reject God's grace, to reject God's mercy, to reject God's forgiveness, and to reject God's word by removing Him from the throne of your life and just doing what you see fit to do, there is a day of judgment. There is a day of judgment. And it's coming for all people. And there won't be some kind of selection committee to decide who gets into the playoff and who gets out of the playoff of heaven. There's one voice. And He's already said, here's the deal. Hey, Jude, who do you listen to? Jude would tell you, listen to the voice of God through the Word of God and then obey what it says. Because this is how all people will be judged, based on what God says is the truth.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. We hope you'll join us this week.